So about this manifest and unmanifest, Bhagwan will tell us a little more about it in the next verse, which is 18, chapter 8, verse number 18. Avyaktad vyaktaya sarvaha. Prabhavantyah ragame. Ratryagame praliyante. Thoda dheere bol.
Ratryagame praliyante.
Tatraiva vyakta sangyake.
Tatraiva vyakta sangyake.
Together. Avyaktad vyaktaya sarvaha. Prabhavantyah ragame. Ratryagame praliyante tatraiva vyakta sangyake. So how does this world come into manifestation? Because this whole chapter, the eighth chapter, talks about what happens after death, what is creation, what is merger, and how is this world created, and what happens to an individual soul after death. Because in the seventh chapter, Bhagavan was giving us the path of knowledge. And then Arjuna asked the question, what happens to us after death? And how am I going to remember you at the time of death? So the entire eighth chapter is devoted to this particular question, what happens after death? And this topic will continue for the rest of this chapter. And little also details will be given, the path of the sun, the path of the moon, how can we choose the good path towards enlightenment. So that also is being taught throughout this chapter about the wisdom. So he says, avyaktat vyaktaya sarvaha prabhavanti aharagame. Aha means day. Agame means when the day occurs. Avyaktat vyaktaya. So this is using the fifth case, from the unmanifest manifest world. So what is creation? From unmanifest to manifest. That is creation. There is not any new creation. What is creation? Unmanifest to manifest. Prabhavanti. And this people go to this. This happens when? At the time of day. So in Brahmaji's day, from unmanifest, the world becomes manifest. From invisible becomes visible. And Ratryagame, and when the night comes, Praliyante, the same world goes into dissolution, which we call Pralay, which in Christianity is called the deluge, you know, where there was 40 days of rain and night. So the point is that the world will end when this night happens, or Brahmaji, when Brahmaji is no longer active. Brahmaji also goes into this unmanifest state, becomes praviliyante, goes into pralaya, and that is called the night, sangyake, that is called night, and is also called from manifest back to unmanifest. So what is creation? Unmanifest to manifest. And what is death? From manifest to unmanifest. And that happens to everybody, to all of us. So like a pot, they say, oh, the pot maker, what did he do? He created a pot. Where? He took mud. It's not that he created a pot out of nothing. There was mud already there. And what did the pot maker do? Use that wheel. On that, he rotated the mud and created a pot. But he actually did not create the pot. What he did was an unmanifest pot, which was called mud, he made into a pot. And then suppose the pot falls and breaks. Then what happens? The manifest pot again becomes the unmanifest mud. So mud was there. It became a pot. And then again went into mud. But that is something you and I can see. You know, we can see. But what science tells us is that matter and energy cannot be created and cannot be destroyed. So you cannot destroy matter, you cannot create matter. You cannot destroy energy, you cannot create energy. Matter and energy are indestructible. You can change, matter can be changed to energy with, you know, in the nuclear explosion where E equals mc squared, where a lot of energy is applied to a atom, it can make very, very powerful energy. But there can be no creation, no destruction. How about death? You know, when the body perishes, there is no destruction. What happens is that the body becomes unmanifest. First, I was unmanifest. You know, I was living in a different world, maybe in heaven or hell or wherever we were. And then we appear in the mother's womb, and then we become manifest. And this, again, is determined by what? By my karmas and by my vasana. So when the right time comes, I appear on this earth in my mother's womb. And an animal appears in an animal's womb, a plant appears in a plant, and fish appears in a fish. So depending on what, so that's why they say like a seed, like a mango seed will only give rise to a mango fruit. A mango is not going to give rise to a guava or not going to give rise to a bitter lemon, but a mango will give rise to mango. Same way a human mother will give rise to a human birth. You know, a cow will give rise to a calf. So what they're saying is that it is just from unmanifest to manifest based on my karmas and based on my vasanas. And the human jiva, the individual, waits in this place called Bardo, which is a place of like a station where until the suitable body becomes available, a suitable house becomes available, then I enter my mother's womb. And then that's what they say after 3 months is when the jiva enters, around fourth month or so. And then this individual is capable of living by himself or herself. And then when does death happen? When this individual's karmas are exhausted and for that particular lifetime. And somebody might say, you know, I'm so young, I'm only 45. And how is it that I'm getting cancer? I'm not ready to leave. They say, no, sorry, your karmas are over. It's time for you to go. And another one says, you know, I'm 90 years old and I'm still sick. And when will God take me? Mera kab number aega? You know, people are always, okay, I'm ready to go. But no, but your karmas have not been exhausted. So it is based on the karmas and based on the vasanas that I live this particular lifetime. And that is called day and night, from manifest to unmanifest and from unmanifest to manifest. And they say, no, but at the time of death, doesn't the body get burnt? That is true. The body gets cremated, but nothing is lost. The solid substance becomes ash, merges with the earth. The water of in that human body evaporates, becomes one with the total water. The air becomes one with the total air. The space becomes one with the total space. So this body, which is made of five elements, merges with the five elements. So all that happens is from unmanifest, it becomes manifest. And then from manifest, again becomes unmanifest. For example, all of you have been to the Chinmaya Mission Gokul. And they say, when was it created? They say, oh, 2006. No, there was no creation. All it was there was already mud and there was cement and there was steel and there was iron and there was wires and there was wood. And what we did, we got a contractor who came and put it all together and made this building. But all of those were there in the unmanifest state, which have now become manifest, which we call as our mission, where our children study. And then maybe after 50 years or 60 years, when the building becomes old and is no longer usable, we may have to demolish it and make another one or whatever. So nothing is created and nothing is destroyed. It is all from unmanifest, it becomes manifest. And from manifest, again becomes unmanifest. So So that is creation. Brahmaji, what he does, all the material is already there. It becomes manifest and then becomes unmanifest. But this is all said to be a dream in the mind of God, and we'll talk a little bit about that afterwards. But just as when I go to sleep and I dream, and that dream has no reality, it is my own creation. So same way they say, in the world of God, in the mind of God, this world appears like a dream, like a thought. And Gurudev in his commentary says that, he gives a very beautiful example. He says, like, there is a hotel or a dharmashala or a hotel, and there are four people who check in at night. One is a doctor, one is a lawyer, one is a devotee of God, and the fourth one is the thief. Now they all check in, they all pay their room charge, and they go to sleep. And in deep sleep, is there any difference? No, there is no difference between the doctor, lawyer, the devotee, or the thief. In the sleep, their mind is still, and their body is, they go back to their five elements. But when they wake up in the morning and they check out of the hotel, does the doctor decide to become a lawyer, and does a lawyer become a devotee? No. Whatever I go to sleep, that is what I wake up. I sleep as a doctor, I wake up as a doctor, or a lawyer, or a devotee, or a thief. So similarly, what they say, that whatever is my status at this end of this lifetime, wherever I have reached, when I go to sleep, when I go to this, become unmanifest, go to heaven or hell or wherever I go, then from there, my journey starts all over again. So whatever karmas I have done, those I cash that balance of karmas I have with me. Whatever vasanas I have created, those vasanas stay with me. So that's why they say that in this life itself, try to exhaust your vasanas, reduce them to a minimum, have pure karmas, and do as much as you can unselfishly for serving the world, so that either you attain enlightenment in this life itself, or if you have done so many good deeds and have done so much service, then the next lifetime you will continue from wherever you are. So that's why Bhagavan says, best is in this life itself, you have this knowledge, you have Bhagavad Gita, you have Puja Gurudev's commentary in English, all the opportunities there. Right now we have so much time to meditate, to study. So study and become one with me. Do as much as you can, because as far as you progress, next life, you will continue that. So that is the essence of these three verses, that the world is created by Brahmaji. There are the four yugas, and there are different lokas, Brahma loka, Indra loka, and all these other worlds, Pitra loka and all. And what is creation? From unmanifest to manifest. And then what is death? From manifest, again becoming unmanifest. So that is how this world progresses. That is how this world creation and birth and death happens. And the goal of life is to reach this state of enlightenment. Before I turn over, there was one question that was sent to me. I would like to address that question because we have a little time, and then we can open it to question. And the question was, what would be Lord Krishna's message today if he was amongst us, regarding the COVID-19 pandemic and the protests, riots triggered by racism in this country? So Ambika has asked this question, that if Bhagavan Sri Krishna was with us, what would he say about COVID-19 and about these riots? So I'll spend a little, I had kind of thought a little about it. Guruji has talked about it, Gurudev has talked about it, but whatever little I can think about. First of all, at Bhagavan Sri Krishna's level, there is no world. This world does not exist. at that level. Just as when I go to sleep, I create dreams. Now, does that dream have any reality? No. Not only that, but say in the dream, when I am dreaming, now in the dream there is a tiger who is chasing me and I'm running up the tree and I'm scared and I'm afraid I'll be eaten and I'm trying to throw sticks at the tiger, trying to make noise and scare the tiger. The tiger will not go away. And if I say, how am I going to get rid of the tiger? Then maybe a wise person who will come and tell me, wake up. Once you wake up to the waking state, then the dream will no longer have any relevance. It will be, you will realize that the tiger and the forest and the human and me, everything was in my dream. Everything was my own creation. So in the dream, I created myself, I created the tiger, I created the forest, I created the night, the fear. But then when I wake up, I realize that this is unreal. So similarly, this whole world is a dream in the Lord's mind. And we are all part of that dream. Even though this world appears very real, just as in the dream, the tiger appears very real. But only when I wake up, then I realize that there was no tiger. So similarly, the wise people tell us that when you wake up to that God state of enlightenment, then the world will have as much importance for you as a dream, where you will see this world as a dream, as a movie. So what am I to do? So they say that instead of asking Krishna to come to this level, you rise up to Bhagavan Sri Krishna's level. Develop these divine qualities of love and compassion and kindness. That's what Bhagavan has told us in the 12th chapter. Advaishta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankara samadukha sukha kshami. So he says that develop divine qualities of love and compassion and sharing and unselfishness and lack of ego and forgiveness. So what will happen is that slowly you will rise to that level of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. That so Lord may appear from time to time, avatar, but why do we want to ask him? Let us evolve ourselves to his level so that the whole world can be elevated. So how can we do that? They say that don't ask what God can give me, but what ask what I can give to the world, what I can share, how I can help. So when I develop these qualities of love, unselfishness and all, then slowly, slowly I'll become an area of peace, an area of silence, an area of compassion. And slowly this knowledge will spread. I cannot go out and cure COVID. I cannot go out and take care of the violence. I cannot prevent the... But all I can do is stay firmly established in the truth that there is one reality and I am that. And this presence of each one of us will become a source of knowledge, will become a source of wisdom, will become a source of compassion, unselfishness. So what I can do is more important than what God will do for us. Now, why has this COVID come? So they say that we were living like 19-year-olds, like a 19-year-old boy, and suddenly his parents pass away and he inherits $1 million. Now he doesn't know what to do with it, right? So he just spends it here and there on friends and drink and drugs and all those things. And soon his money is exhausted and he's living a life of arrogance and selfishness and I want and me and I, me and myself. Unfortunately, all of us have been living with that attitude. What can I get? Looking out for me, you know, looking out for number one. So we have been living this life of arrogance, selfishness, pollution, contaminating the world. As we said, this world of Kali Yuga is only one leg in that bull, and three quarters of the world is selfishness. And sooner or later, this destruction was bound to happen. In fact, God has been compassionate in bringing COVID. We, if it had been left to ourselves, we would have brought nuclear war. There would have been a major war. There would have been a war between Russia and China and Korea and America and Iran. And that would have meant a much worse destruction, where the whole infrastructure would have been destroyed, the world would have been destroyed, there would have been a lot more deaths, there would have been a lot more. The way human beings were headed towards, and with the pollution and with the violence. So this has been a more gentle way. Yes, there have been deaths, you know, there has been some economic damage, but the infrastructure is still intact where we can rebuild. But if we had gone into a war like happened in the First World War and Second World War, where there was so much infrastructure damage that to rebuild took a lot more time. So this actually has been a pause where we have been given time to think. And they say, use this pause wisely. Use this pause to think, where were we going? Why were we going in this direction? Why what is happening is happening? And remember, everything in this world is temporary. There is no real. It is just a dream. So in that dream, whatever role I have been assigned, I play it to the best of my ability. I become unselfish, kind, compassionate. And each one of us can become a zone of wisdom, a zone of compassion to share with the world. And what we find is selfishness is increasing. We are going to be creating our first trillionaire. You know, Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon. And there is such a gap between people who have and people who do not have. Let us reduce this gap. Let us share with others. You know, we don't find him doing all this. So the point is that the world needed a correction, needed. So this COVID has been a way for us to slow down and think why we were going where we were going. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, what I would do, read the Bhagavad Gita. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, he has clearly told us in chapter 12, in chapter 13, how are the values to be practiced, what you are supposed to do. In chapter 15, where am I? Where is God? In chapter 10, how can you see me? So use the Bhagavad Gita. That's what Sri Krishna says. What I would have done, read my Bhagavad Gita. The second, I will just briefly address these riots. And again, this is something of our own doing. Because to create a fire, what do you need? You need dry wood. Then you need kerosene or gasoline on top. And you need a spark. So the dry wood has been our persistent treatment of one segment of society as being inferior. And especially, you know, black males have been treated. I have a technician who works in my GI lab, and he's black, and he's one of the gentlest people you can meet. He's actually an assistant pastor in a church, and he gives sermons. And he says he won't leave his home at night. He does not leave his house. He does not drive alone, because even to get groceries or milk or bread, because he knows he will be stopped. And if you talk to black people, all of them, whether they are senators or congressmen or whether they are CEOs of companies or whether they are executives, or all of them get stopped for doing nothing wrong, just for being black. So that was the dry wood. And the gasoline on top has been our leaders who have been promoting this idea of racism and violence. And, you know, one group is inferior, one group is superior. So that the conditions were already there. There was dry wood, there was kerosene, there was gasoline. Only thing it needed was a spark. And that spark was that, you know, killing. I'm not condoning the violence or the burning of stores and all. But the thing is that it is our own fault that all this is happening. So again, what can I do? I cannot stop the violence, but all I can do is stay in that truth. Just pray, sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramaya, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschit dukh bhag bhavet. May everybody be happy, may everybody be free from disease, may everybody have good luck, and may nobody suffer. So that is all I can do, and that is my best I could answer the question. I don't know if I was able to or not. But that is my humble understanding of what this world is at this moment. And this is what we should do.
Great.
So I would say, Anilji, then the message is the same, right? The message that Lord Krishna gave to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra is the same message that we have to listen to today.
Exactly. Yes. That's what they say. This Bhagavad Gita is as valid now as it was 7,000-8,000 years ago. That was given on the battlefield. But these teachings are eternal. The Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, the Bible, the Buddha's teachings, they are eternal teachings and they will always be valid. Even 5,000 years from now, when people sit and talk about the Bhagavad Gita. And why? Because it is the Lord himself, in his own words, with his own mouth, he has given this knowledge. Yeah. So I think just practicing the values of Bhagavad Gita and doing whatever I can. All I can do is pray. If there is a place I can help, if I can donate, if I can share, if I can help somebody, let me do that. But main thing is not to lose sight of this truth. Be one with the truth. Be a zone of truth. Where, so that's what they say. We cannot be the sun like Swami Chinmayananda or Jesus, but we can be a little lamp. Wherever, whichever neighborhood I am, let me be a lamp of little lamp of light.
Gurudev said, you change, the world will change.
That's what Gurudev himself said. You change and the world will change with you. So all I can do is change my world. I cannot change the total world. But each one of us can become an agent of change in our neighborhood. And prayer is very powerful. Prayer and maintaining these values. Because when I live a life of values, then I live a life of truth. And never lose sight of the truth that I am that eternal consciousness. I am not this limited individual. Each one of us can be a zone of peace, compassion, kindness. That is what my understanding is. I don't know if it's right or wrong, if anybody agrees or disagrees, but that is what I thought would be.
Thank you.
I think that I saw one young individual. Arpita is here, right? Would she like to comment? Is she here? Arpita Padi, I saw her in the beginning. Is she there?
Dekho.
Hai wo aur koi hai?
Nahi, koi nahi.
Okay, are there any other youngsters? Okay, if not, anybody else, if there's any questions, anybody would like to add or comment or ask?
I have one question about, you know, it seems like in all of the stories, like the Ramayana, or even in Balakrishna, it's the hero of the stories, if you will, you know, Ram, or Krishna, they were always killing demons. And so, I wonder, I mean, it's, I don't know, I mean, on the one hand, you talk about, you know, compassion and love, and I mean, I realize you can have compassion for a demon, but they did kill him. I just wondered about that.
Yeah, no, yeah, that is true, but it is all symbolic. All of us, the demons are within us. We have all the good qualities and we have the evil qualities within us. So what is the goal of life? That our good qualities should triumph and evil qualities should be destroyed. If we allow the evil qualities to sustain, say if I have a lot of anger or if I have selfishness or I have greed or I have violence in those tendencies, if I allow them to grow, then they will take over my mind and then my mind will become selfish, will become violent, will become full of hatred, full of, you know, hatred and jealousy and greed and all. So what do they say? Slowly suppress your evil tendencies and allow your good tendencies to grow, like love, compassion, kindness, unselfishness, sharing. So all these stories are symbolic because the struggle is within us. So the Pandavas and the Kauravas are within us. The Pandavas were only five. They were the good qualities and there were 100 evil qualities. Now if the evil qualities were allowed to continue to grow, they would take over the country. So this is symbolic. So the destruction of evil, and evil either you can remove with knowledge, but if they are not, then ultimately it has to be removed. Same way within myself, I can either remove jealousy with knowledge, or if not, I have to forcibly suppress it. So that is the symbolism of that. Thank you. That's a good question.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anybody else? I'm not saying that these stories did not happen. You know, there was, Ramayana was a story, and there was a true incident where Ramchandraji, the Lord, appeared, and there were evil demons like Ravana, who could not have been, even the gods in heaven could not destroy him. He was so powerful. So God himself, Vishnu himself, had to appear to remove that. Otherwise, Ravana and his family would have, and same thing the Kauravas, you know. So these people were real, these demons were real, and God had to come. So the point is that evil has to be eradicated. Otherwise, evil will take over. Yeah, even in the world, if there is somebody who is a criminal or a murderer or a drug dealer, you can't let him grow. You have to put him in jail. The law has to punish. You have to put him in the jail. Otherwise, drugs and crime will become rampant. So such people have to be put in jail. Somebody has murdered somebody else, or has multiple murders, or rapists and child molesters. You cannot allow them to continue in society. So society has to be protected from these evil people, and the children and the women and all. So that is the significance of this, of the history. That's why Ramayana and Mahabharata are said to be itihas, are said to be history. It's not just symbolic, it's not just a story, but has had actually occurred a few thousand years ago. Yeah, and the idea is to apply that in our life. Let Ram grow in our mind rather than Ravana. Let Krishna grow in our mind rather than Duryodhana. That is the idea. Yeah, Lata.
So in today's world, translation of that, protest and vote those leaders out.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's whatever I can do. All I can do is vote. Or I can maybe donate, maybe I donate to a candidate who I support and I vote, or I can campaign. So, that's all I can do. So do what I can, but pray.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I have one other question. You brought up Gandhiji and Martin Luther King and the other day, earlier. And the other supporters, if they would have stayed on the sideline, we would be still ruled by British. They had something like what's happening right now. These people had to stand up and fight. So they are doing karma, in a present time, and they were doing it. They are not sitting and, applying towards moksha.
Right.
It's very hard. That moksha concept for me, for younger people, liberation is going to happen down the road for me. But right now, my blood is hot. What do I do that can make change in my life and people around me? Sort of, I'm pointing to Jesus Christ's message.
Right.
Social justice.
Right.
How do I do that?
Okay, so I think...
Help me with that understanding.
No, that's a very good question.
What she asked earlier, even that sort of binds into that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good question. So first of all, I'm not saying that Mahatma Gandhiji's accomplishments were minor. They were tremendous. And at that time, we needed a Yuga Purush like Mahatma Gandhiji to take us to the next level. But what my point was that karma yoga is preparatory for enlightenment. And Mahatma Gandhiji himself, even though he was doing a lot of karma, always remembered God. He always prayed every morning. He carried the Bhagavad Gita with him. He wanted to live. Same thing, Martin Luther King was a pastor. So their contribution to that generation was tremendous. And at this moment, if, as you said, you for you, karma is important, then that's good. Then do whatever you can to do good karmas and use Mahatma Gandhi as an example, or Martin Luther King, or Nelson Mandela, or Cesar Chavez. You know, these are people who fought for freedom for their men, for their fellow beings. But still, the goal of life has to be enlightenment. If you do a lot of good service, do a lot of good karma and karma yoga, that's very good. Your mind will become purified, and then you will leave this body, and then next life you will continue the journey. But sooner or later, we all have to go on the path of knowledge. There is no other way, otherwise you keep on doing karma yoga, then yes, you will keep taking multiple births, and if that is your goal in life. But the point is that what I was saying was that the contribution of knowledge is eternal. The contribution of karma yoga ends with this person's birth. When Mahatma Gandhiji left, there was no other Mahatma Gandhiji created. His work ended. When Martin Luther King left, his work, and I mean, they became inspiration for others. But the path of knowledge is eternal. Even 5,000 years later, you can use that path of knowledge to yourself attain enlightenment. And if at this stage, if you feel that karma is good, there's nothing wrong. As long as you do good karmas, dedicated to the Lord, and the path of karma yoga in the third chapter, Bhagavan has told us that do the work unselfishly, dedicated to me, without I and my, without worrying about what can I get out of it, what can I give, and then ultimately not having a doership, that I am not doing it, God is working through me. That is the final of karma yoga. No, karma is, I'm not reducing or belittling the path of karma, but I'm just comparing the path of karma and the path of knowledge. Karma is preparatory to knowledge. If you do not do karma yoga and you sit down and start studying Bhagavad Gita or Upanishads, the knowledge will not penetrate. But when you have worked unselfishly, and it's like karma yoga is like tilling the ground. You till the ground, make the dig up the ground, and then the seed of the wheat will. So same way, the seed of knowledge will only penetrate when I have prepared my mind with karma yoga. So that is called, it is the purification of the mind or preparation. Thank you. That's a good question. Thank you. Anybody else? Any comments?
Okay. I have one more question. You know, if a person goes through all the four yugas and, you know, they don't ever reach moksha, they don't ever reach enlightenment, then what happens?
They go into unmanifest.
They keep going through the yugas. Then again you take birth and death and birth and death and birth until you finally meet a guru and you learn and you reach enlightenment. Until then you just have to go through cycle of birth and death, birth and death, birth and death.
Well, it might be a lot easier in a Satya Yuga.
Yes, it was easier. It was easier in Satya Yuga, but remember, Satya Yuga is 450,000 years away. So if you have an average birth of 90 years, you have to go through 50 more births before
we're
you...
Closer.
Huh?
We're closer.
Before you reach. Why would you want to go through 50 births? You know, right now, the world is bad. Imagine 50, 60 years from now, there will be more violence, more pollution, more violence, more wars, more COVID, new diseases. Why you want to go through all that? And there'll be overpopulation. Now it's 7 billion, then it'll be 9 billion, 10 billion. People will be fighting for water, will be fighting for land, will be fighting for oil. It's enough problems as it is. So why you want? I don't think it's worth it. You know, sooner you can get it, the better. People think, oh, path of service is good. path of service is good, but there is no better path than knowledge. That's why Sri Krishna says in the Gita,
everybody is a different path,
but so ultimately
each one of us has different vasanas according to our temperament. It has to be
right.
You can't have, not everybody can go on the path of knowledge.
Yes, Neeru says it very nicely. We have different vasanas. Somebody has a desire for service, has a desire for love, to love God, has a desire for knowledge. But ultimately, everything has to lead to knowledge. Nahi gyane na sadrisham. So you may do service, you may love God, but the path, that's why we are all sitting and studying the Bhagavad Gita. I'm not saying one shouldn't work or one shouldn't pray, but knowledge is the ultimate goal of all.
Knowledge has to be very specific. What knowledge?
Yeah, knowledge about what the Gita is telling us. Yeah, Neeru is saying ultimate knowledge is that God and I are one, which you know all the masters have told us, Jiva Brahma Aikyam. That is the essence of the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita.
I have a question about the, you say that the ultimate is knowledge, reaching
yes.
knowledge. Okay, so what does that, what good does that do as opposed to service, adding value into the world?
So what I had said in the beginning of the class, the knowledge also adds value. In fact, they add a lot more value because they achieve upliftment and then they achieve, like how much, what service did Jesus do? What did service did he do? Nothing. Did he build a house? Did he, no, all he did was give knowledge to his disciples, 12 of them. And then from there, how many billion Christians are benefiting from Jesus' knowledge? Buddha, how many houses did he build? How many, Buddha, what he did? He traveled throughout the small area he lived in, gave the knowledge of Buddhism, which now several billion Buddhists are benefiting from it. So they are not saying that one should not do karma yoga, but what they are saying is that use this knowledge to elevate yourself. Did Jesus do any service? No. All he did was give us knowledge. Did Buddha do any service? No. All he did was give the knowledge. And using the knowledge, billions of people have uplifted themselves. That's what I'm saying. And they to me, that service is greater service than karma yoga. That's because right now, if your desire is to serve the world, go ahead and serve. If your desire is to do prayers, go ahead and do that. There's nothing wrong. That is very good. But ultimately, your mind, when it becomes quiet, then you will want to know, who is this God that I'm serving?
And that's another question. If this is a beta, and you separate God and myself, you know, this is a separation. There's a...
Right.
Well, for me, there's a gap, you know, to say
yes.
We're all one, but yet it says that God is going to... The serving God, or, you know, is the,
right.
The ultimate. But...
Yes. So we start out as separation. You start out as I am serving God. That is called Dvaita. That me and God are separate. And that's what Christianity says. All the religions say that when you die, you will go to heaven and God will be there and you will live happily with God forever. So that is called Dvaita. Then from Dvaita, you become Vishisht Advaita, where God is the whole and I am a small part of him. But what Vedanta says, that in essence, me and God are one. So that is a slow progression of your mental state. Your mind is slowly progressing to that higher state, from separation to a part and then to oneness. So that is the ultimate knowledge, and it doesn't come that easily. You cannot just listen to one lecture or one chapter of Bhagavad Gita and attain that. But that is the ultimate goal. Actually, God alone is everything. Actually, me and God are not separate. When I'm talking, God alone is. But my understanding is that God is separate, and that is the knowledge of the beginner. At the beginner, it is God and I are separate. But ultimately, the final knowledge is there is only one. God alone is. There is no separation. Thank you. Can we do the Hanuman Chalisa, or should we just do the closing prayer? I think we have less time. We can just do the closing prayer, because there's only 3 minutes. Thank you all for all the questions and comments. And next week, what we are going to do, I have a couple of announcements. One is that Vimalji will be talking tomorrow evening onwards, 7:30 to 8:30, Monday to Thursday.
Mandukya.
He's doing Mandukya Upanishad Chapter 3, which is what Tony's question, that how can God and I be one? That will be addressed. It's the highest level of understanding. So Monday to Thursday, 7:30 to 8:30. And you have received the emails, so please sign in. If you are not receiving our emails, please stay at the end and give us your email address so we can add you to our email list. But Vimalji, Vimal Chaitanya ji, will be talking from Monday to Thursday, 7:30 to 8:30. Also, we are going to use a new Zoom link, because what is happening is this Zoom link does not belong to us. We are using somebody else's, and so we are dependent on that person to log out, and then only we can access it. Like Arun Kenny had difficulty getting in today. So we are going to send you the new link. So please check your email. It will say Gita class. And are you all getting our emails, everybody? If you are not, please let us give us your email.
I am not.
Okay. What is your email address?
I'll send it to Neeru.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Please send us your email address if you are not getting it. And we'll send you a new email with a new link. So please use that for our for this Gita class, because then that will be ours. And then that way we can control it, and we can, if somebody tries to crash in, and it will stay permanently. And if somebody tries to access who is not authorized, we can remove him or her. So that's why. So you will be getting a new link, and we'll send 2 or 3 emails and a reminder. So please watch your email, and that will have the new link and the new password. And it will say Gita class. Next week, maybe Varsha and Satish can do the Hanuman Chalisa. Today we don't have time, but next week, please, if you can do that. Can you also do the chanting after I chant? Varsha and Satish bhai can do the chanting next
week. Yes.
Okay, we'll do the chanting and then the Hanuman Chalisa. Thank you very much. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Hari Om Shri Guru Yo Namaha. Hari Om. Thank you very much. Hari Om.